take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Bell Metal Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Friday, June 20th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also the last day of spring here in the Northern Hemisphere. Tomorrow, we've got the equinox. That's right, summer starts tomorrow on Saturday. We'll be up there in the sunshine. I'm headed up to Astoria, Oregon, to visit my good friend and sister from another mother, Cannabis Carrie, the person who created the job, now filled by our own Priscilla Sibon, who's out there in Colorado. How you doing, Priscilla?
Excellent. How are you?
Fantastic. Got any weekend plans?
Yeah, I work. Yeah.
Gotta work, huh? Oh no. But Monday you get to go to that fantastic little party.
I do. I'm so stoked.
Yeah, all right, fantastic. Of course, Priscilla handles our 420 radio news, and got some headlines coming up in the next segment. Of course, New York all this week has been twisting arms and trying to get a medical marijuana thing passed. It looks like it's a done deal. Priscilla will break down exactly what we're going to get out of New York's medical marijuana. A Texas teenager is facing life in prison for pot brownies. He turned down a plea deal in court on Thursday. We'll tell you all the details there. There's been some tourism records set for Colorado's first year of legal marijuana. We'll get the details. Pope Francis turns out not to be as cool as I had hoped he would be on the subject of marijuana legalization. And we've got a city on the East Coast that is preparing for the legalization of medical marijuana in Florida this November. Something you wish California might have gotten the idea to do a couple of decades ago. Maybe plan ahead a little bit, but we'll tell you all about that coming up in the 420 Radio News. Also, after the news in our Behind the Headlines segment, we're going to take a look at the emerging cannabis industries that are having difficulty getting their product advertised or their service advertised on social media. We'll take a look at Google, Facebook, and Twitter and their social media policies against legal marijuana business advertising. It's putting a crimp in the business. We'll tell you how that is breaking down in the second segment. Then at half past, we've got a great guest for today's activist agenda, Riley Morton, the director of the movie Evergreen, The Road to Legalization. It's the documentary about Washington State's I-502 legalization campaign in 2012. Both the yes on I-502 and no on I-502 sides are represented in the documentary. Can't wait to talk to Riley today in our activist agenda at half past. You can also learn more about the movie by following them on Twitter. It's Evergreen. Let's see if I can get that Twitter handle up here real quick. It was Evergreen Doc, at Evergreen Doc for more information. And they've also got a website out there, evergreendocumentary.com. Features Rick Steves and Allison Holcomb, Doug Hyatt and Steve Sarich, just about everybody who was involved in that campaign. We're going to show you the official movie trailer from Evergreen as well, plus an extended trailer after the interview. So everything you want to know about the Evergreen documentary coming up on today's show. Also, in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111, and we'll discuss more on the news of the day and the continuing evolution, or perhaps de-evolution, of medical marijuana in the United States. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. So excited to get to the weekend. And remember, next week, the last show of the week will be on Thursday, right before me and Herb Thrasher head down to the Cannabis Cup. And it's show number 420. So we're going to have something extra special planned for you on that day. Stay tuned. Priscilla's next with the news.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. Drug Truth Network Cultural Baggage, replaying Wednesdays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
Hi folks, this is your 420 Radio News for Friday, June 20th, 2014. The New York Senate has passed a heavily modified bill that means the Empire State will soon become the 23rd medical marijuana state. In a 49-10 vote, the Senate passed the bill after legislators conceded to the demands of Governor Andrew Cuomo. Gone are lupus, diabetes, and post-concussion syndrome from the list of qualifying conditions. Cancer, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, ALS, Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, neuropathies, certain spinal cord injuries, inflammatory bowel disease, HIV or AIDS will qualify, but only if the disease causes certain symptoms, including severe chronic pain, nausea, wasting syndrome, or muscular spasms. Alzheimer's disease, muscular dystrophy, dystonia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and rheumatoid arthritis might be added if the state health commissioner signs off within the next 18 months. The state health commissioner will also set the price of marijuana, and patients will only be allowed to purchase 2 ounces every 30 days from one of 5 statewide dispensaries and taxed at 7%. The law goes into effect 18 months after the governor signs it, unless the state police superintendent or state health commissioner wants to delay it for any reason. The law sunsets in 7 years unless the state police superintendent or state health commissioner suspend the program at any time they choose.
Wow. this is pretty restrictive. It's like a competition. If you're trying to ask what's the most restrictive medical marijuana law, New Jersey, Illinois, New York, Minnesota, they all are pretty restrictive to one degree or another. One of the things I think was funny about this bill is it seems that patients are still going to be able to get a hold of flower. I haven't seen anything that says they can't get flower. In fact, everything still refers to them having a 2 ounce supply every 30 days, but supposedly smoking is banned. So how exactly do you ban smoking? What do you send someone to everyone's house to make sure they're not rolling it up in a doobie that they're forced to have to use a vaporizer? I mean, is this really what the governor was fighting all this time about, was over a ban that's pretty much unenforceable? I mean, at least in Minnesota, when they said no smoking, they said no plant, and then you couldn't get a hold of it. Oh, wait, shh. I better just shut up before Governor Cuomo figures out what he did.
A Texas teenager facing life in prison for pot brownies turned down a plea deal in court on Thursday. Jacob Lavado, age 19, was arrested in April for possession of 1.5 pounds of pot brownies and a pound of usable marijuana along with digital scales and baggies. Texas law charges defendants for the weight of the brownies, not the marijuana used to make them. Since Lavado used hash oil to make the brownies, and hash oil is treated much more harshly than marijuana, Lavado is facing 5 to 99 years in prison, a penalty worse than the sentence for manslaughter. Quote, this is a prime example of how our criminal justice tax dollars are going to waste, end quote, said Tristan Tucker, deputy director of Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, who is among dozens of supporters who rallied outside the courthouse. Lavado turned down a plea deal to reduce the charge to a second-degree felony, punishable from 2 to 20 years in prison. His lawyer, Jack Holmes, wants to see the charge dismissed, reduced to a misdemeanor, or go to trial.
Yeah, and this is really brave of him to do this, to pass up this plea deal, but there's a certain precedent here, and that is the weight of the hash oil in the brownies is what's being used against him. If he'd have made the same plate of brownies, even at the same potency, right? Like, say he'd put in, you know, 4 times as much pot in it to get it to the same potency as what the hash oil might have been, he still would have only been subject to about a misdemeanor. Looking up the Texas laws, if you go to the normal.org website out there, and let me just pull this up real quick, normal.org/laws/TX, and you can find your state laws the same way, normal.org/laws/your state abbreviation. And in Texas, you have to have, and I believe it's a fairly big amount, 2 ounce possession or less, up to 1/4 pound is just misdemeanor. Right. So he could have put 1/4 pound of weed into those brownies and still only been charged with a misdemeanor with a possibility 1 year. But the possession of concentrates, hash oil in the state of Texas, less than 1 gram is a felony. The residue in your empty vapor pen is a felony worthy of 180 days to 2 years. And since he had possession of more than 400 grams, apparently it's the 10 years to life that he's facing there. So I think the lawyer here is going off of the, and I'm just speculating, but going off the idea that pot brownies are pot brownies. It doesn't matter whether hash oil went into them or weed went into them. You should be, you know, treating them the same. The other thing to come out of this story that's really hopeful is how all of the organizations in Texas, all of the Texas Normal chapters throughout the state are rallying around this cause. They were selling t-shirts there, Justice for Jacob, at the rally there at the courthouse. They were there from like 4 hours during that day, you know, with people seeing them and seeing the signs and everything and bringing exposure to it. This Sunday in El Paso, El Paso Normal is doing a bowling thing for him. You can go and bowl there, and I forget the lanes or whatever, but if you look up El Paso Normal, you'll be able to find this. And it's like $10 for the lanes and the shoes, and it's a fundraiser that helps for his defense fund. And, you know, if he's going to go to trial on this, trying to beat this felony, this life imprisonment for pot brownies, he's going to need a lot of money. Please help him out if you can. He's also got a funder on GoFundMe.com. Name is Jacob Lavado, LAVARO. Check it out.
Tourists spend $4 billion in Colorado in 2013, setting an all-time record. In the first year of constitutionally legal marijuana, there was a 12% increase in tourism over 2012. Colorado saw 27.1 million vacationers in 2013. There were 14 million in Denver alone. Of those 14 million in Denver, 5.5 million were what tourism officials call, quote, marketable visitors, the people who could afford to travel anywhere as opposed to family visit. Those visitors were up 13% from 2012, and Denver is 4 points better than the national average. Ski resort visits were up 10% from 2012 to a record 12.6 million. Even as some Second Amendment groups called for boycotts of Colorado for its new gun control laws, it doesn't seem that has had any effect. Tourism officials have doubts that legal marijuana is behind the increase in tourism, or perhaps they just don't want to admit it.
Well, you know, I find Denver to be a wonderful place to visit, aside from the, you know, the trek out to the airport out in Kansas there. But it's a great place to visit. And now with legal marijuana, I think what people are going to find out is that it really doesn't make that much difference. People who liked weed and wanted to go to Colorado for weed, we're already going to Colorado for weed. I mean, we were already visiting, right? And people that aren't into weed that wanted to go to Colorado, it's not going to matter that weed is legal. They'll still want to go for the mountains or the streams or whatever nature-y stuff you do out there in Colorado. So that's the thing, is all these prohibitionists that came about and said, oh my God, we legalize marijuana, these terrible things are going to happen, are coming to it from the point of view as if legalizing marijuana invents it. As if there aren't already a bunch of people already smoking it. And like one of my followers on Twitter said the other day, I always ask prohibitionists, if we legalize weed, are you going to smoke it? And they say no. You then ask, so why is anybody else? Right? If someone wants to smoke it, they are. There might be a few people that try it, give it a shot. But generally, any effects we were going to see from legalized weed, we would have already seen by now with the weed that already exists.
Pope Francis has come out with a strong condemnation for the legalization of recreational drugs. The pontiff, speaking to an audience at the International Drug Enforcement Conference in Rome, said even limited attempts at marijuana legalization, quote, are not only highly questionable from a legislative standpoint, but they fail to produce the desired effects. Pope Francis said in a speech last year in Brazil, quote, a reduction in the spread and influence of drug addiction will not be achieved by a liberalization of drug use. Rather, it is necessary to confront the problems underlying the abuse of these drugs by promoting greater justice, educating young people in the values that build up life in society, accompanying those in difficulty, and giving them hope for the future.
Ah, doggone it, Pope Frank. Just when my atheist ass was eligible to go to heaven, you have to come out with this.
How are you with homies, man? Come on. You were there for days. Like, what's up, dude?
I know. He was doing so good. He had all that great stuff to say about capitalism and homosexuality. He was fine with the gay folks. He's fine with the atheists, but doesn't like the pot smoking. And I think part of this is, you know, drug use is kind of a competition with religion. Right. Religion kind of sells this, you know, euphoria in a sense. And so does pot. So maybe there's a competition aspect to it. I also think these type of folks, they mentor to so many people who are in the grips of serious addiction problems or go to these most impoverished places where drug violence runs rampant. And they confuse serious addiction problems and drug violence with marijuana use, which doesn't have to have any of that if it's legalized. Pope Francis, I would hope that if you believe in, what did you say, quote, great promoting greater justice, you would understand that locking away a teenager in Texas for life for pot brownies is in no way promoting a greater justice.
While localities in West Coast states with medical and recreational marijuana seem to generate headlines for their moratoriums and bans, one East Coast city is approving both medical marijuana dispensaries and recreational pot shops before either of them are actually legal. Cocoa Beach, Florida's commissioners voted 4-1 to pass an ordinance regulating where any kind of marijuana retailer, medical or recreational, could operate if voters approve the medical marijuana amendment this November, then legalize marijuana at some later date. Pot shops will have to be 200 feet from major roads, and a buffer zone is established from churches, schools, and residences. However, the one no vote came from a council member who explained the ordinance was too restrictive, that it basically regulated any future pot shops in just two areas of the city.
Yeah, this is one of those, you know, on the one hand, on the other hand kind of things. Like, on the one hand, they could be voting to ban. You know, they could be putting in a preemptive, you know, when Florida passes this thing in November, we're not going to be in it. We're going to ban it, right? But as a constitutional amendment, I don't know that they really have that power. So perhaps what they're looking at is, all right, if at least we step up and regulate it, we can push it out to just that one spot in the city, you know, where like the sex toy shops are and the strip clubs or whatever it is. I don't know. I haven't looked at their actual zoning map, but that's kind of the feel I've got for what they're doing here. Reading a couple of the pieces on this, it kind of explained that the four commissioners that were in favor of this kind of had that attitude that, hey, legal medical is coming for sure. Legalization may be coming in the future. If we don't put it out there now, we're not going to have any control of it once it becomes legal. And that is kind of a bad attitude, but at least it's a better attitude than what they had in California, which is, just let it run like, you know, rampant like wildfire, and then we'll stamp it all out once everybody gets upset about it. Hey, it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone, where marijuana use is constitutionally legal, and Priscilla's got an important safety meeting to attend to. Thank you so much, and have fun next Monday. We'll talk to you then. All right, when we come back, we're going behind the headlines on social media ad policies for legal cannabis businesses.
Twenty Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420 Radio. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. 22 and a half after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where today we're taking a look at the social media policies on legal cannabis business advertising. The story came to me by way of the San Francisco Gate, entitled "For Colorado Pot Ads, Social Media is Just Saying No." And the opening line is very interesting. With recreational marijuana legal in Colorado, the pioneers in the burgeoning market are struggling with an odd business scenario. It's easier to buy cannabis than it is to buy an online advertisement for it. And it's true. Anybody, you know, has ever been involved, even with just a blog writing about marijuana, you can get all sorts of rejection from Google AdWords and from Facebook ads and so forth. And the San Francisco Chronicle writer here went and took a look at all the advertising guidelines from the three major social media networks, and this is what they found. According to its advertising guidelines, Facebook will not allow ads that, quote, promote or facilitate the sale or consumption of illegal or recreational drugs, tobacco products, or drug or tobacco paraphernalia, end quote. Which is odd to me, because I swear on Facebook I've gotten a ton of ads for Viagra. I think I've seen that on Facebook. Oh, right. Viagra is not a recreational drug. It's only for men who are suffering from ED. Right. Okay. That's one of the inconsistencies there. But, you know, Facebook's also banning tobacco. I don't see alcohol in that list. Does Facebook ban alcohol? Anybody seen an alcohol ad on Facebook? Mm-hmm. Apparently, alcohol is not a recreational drug, I guess. And it's not an illegal drug. Alcohol just must be in its own little category. As we look to Twitter, Twitter's ad policy is more specific. Banning ads, including, quote, all accessories related to drug use, such as bongs, pipes, vaporizers, and grinders, and products and services furthering access to drugs, such as dispensary directories. So that doesn't seem to ban tobacco products to me. I haven't seen the actual full policy, but this quote doesn't suggest any ban on tobacco advertising. And again, no suggestion of a ban on alcohol advertising. And of course, you know, all sorts of drugs, prescription drugs. As we look at Google's policy, quote, doesn't allow substances that can alter the function of the brain to induce a natural euphoria or alter reality, such as marijuana, cocaine, magic mushrooms, herbal ecstasy, etc. End quote. It also allows ads that refer to smoking accessories like vaporizers only, quote, when promoted as a humidifier or as an aromatherapy device, end quote. all right. Now, this sounds to me like it's a tougher hypocrisy. Doesn't allow substances that can alter the function of the brain to induce a natural euphoria. Well, gosh, if I'm bipolar or if I'm manic, if I'm depressed, if I'm melancholic, and a doctor prescribes to me some Paxil, some Zoloft, some Wellbutrin, any number of these antidepressants, isn't that an unnatural euphoria? Didn't nature make me depressed? And now we are unnaturally making me euphoric? I suppose there are probably ads for those kind of things on Google, but I don't know for sure. Or any substances that can alter reality. Again, does Google allow for alcohol advertising? If anything alters a person's reality, it would definitely be alcohol. So these hypocrisies that we have to deal with when it comes to the social media and what they will and will not consider for their advertising policies seems to be more just rank bigotry against what are now legal businesses. And furthermore, this refusal to accept advertising for access to these legal substances, to the, just the dispensaries, would be like, you know, not allowing a 7-Eleven to advertise because it's got, you know, access to mind-altering substances there as well. But the bottom line on all of this is that the legal cannabis industry is poised for 68% annual growth. We are talking about billions of dollars that are to be made here. $17.9 million in tax revenue for Colorado in just 4 months. These online retailers will come around. Online networks will come around just as soon as the money is big enough and there are more legal states, trust me. We're back with Riley Morton from the Evergreen Doc after these messages.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, the best of metal and marijuana with videos and interviews every Friday night at 5 and 8 Pacific with replays Saturday night at 8 Pacific on 420radio.org. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Act
activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour, and today we're talking about a whole lot of activists and a whole lot of activism that helped to legalize marijuana in the state of Washington. It was the I-502 campaign, and you know we were deep in the middle of it, embroiled in all the scandals and all of the drama that accompanied it, and there was a man and a crew there that were filming the whole time, and I saw them at numerous events. We've got Riley Morton on the line. He's the director of Evergreen, the Road to Legalization, the documentary about the I-502 campaign in Washington. Riley, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Russ. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Are you hearing us all right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. We're excited about this documentary. I know just about everybody in it. It's always exciting to see a movie that's got your friends in it and maybe some others. But let me just let people know, evergreendocumentary.com is the website. You had your opening on June 13th in New York. How has it been received so far, Riley?
It's been really well received. Everybody that seems to really like it. I continue to be flattered by all the positive press we're getting. And New York was a lot of fun. Ethan Nadelman came out, the head of the Drug Policy Alliance, came out and held court on the future of drug policy. It was fantastic. But we're really extra excited about Denver opening today and Seattle next Friday.
Yeah, we'll be playing for a week. We have a lot. I'm sorry to interrupt. We have a lot of listeners in the Denver area. Our newsreader just finished the news segment from Denver. So where is the premiere in Denver tonight?
It's at the SIE Film Center in Denver. And more of the address, ticket, the show times, all that's available via evergreendocumentary.com or our distributor, firstrunfeatures.com/evergreen, has all the relevant information for screenings.
All right. And then next weekend, June 27th, so next Friday, at the SIFF Cinema in Seattle, Washington, this would be, I guess, your first Washington public premiere, right?
Well, except for the film festivals that we did last year. That's
gotcha.
Correct. Yeah, this is the first main run. We did a handful of festivals last year, Seattle, Spokane, to Tacoma. But yeah, as far as the main run, this is it. So we got a week to week at the SIFF Film Center starting next week, the 27th, and that first weekend we've got a lot of Q&As planned with us as filmmakers and also the folks that are in the film.
All right. We have the trailer here. I'd like to give our viewers a chance to check that out, and then we'll talk a little bit about the documentary and what it took to put that together. This is a look at Evergreen, The Road to Legalization.
Drug prohibition is the biggest failed policy in the history of the United States of America, second only to slavery.
We arrested over 800,000 Americans last year, 90% of them for simply possessing a little marijuana.
Many police officers, many prosecutors ask themselves the question, what are we accomplishing here?
We have an opportunity now to change course.
What we're here today to do is to celebrate the fact that 355,000 voters signed the petition to put I-502.
Lies! Tricked! Lies!
Deceived!
L-I-E-S!
This is an elaborate hoax. They're talking about millions and billions of dollars in tax money, but they know it's not going to happen.
The drug war started in the United States. It spreads around the world like a cancer, and this is where it has to end. It has to be killed here.
In the city of Seattle, we have it amazing. Everyone's smoking cannabis, and there's nothing wrong with it. Why do we want to change that?
By legalizing it, you're putting more youth at risk. I should be able to smoke, especially if I can vote for it.
We want to err on the side of public safety.
The people that are working to pass I-502, they're trying to do something historic. There is a national strategy involved in it.
I think the message will go across the United States and reach Washington, D.C.
The voters in Washington State said, yes, we want legalization. What makes me sick is, of course, they didn't get legalization.
Other states will see the wisdom in this and will look back and see this is indeed a turning point.
It's Evergreen, The Road to Legalization. You can catch it tonight in Denver. You can catch it next Friday in Seattle. And we are speaking to the director, Riley Morton. And Riley, as you're trying to put a documentary like this together, how did this differ from, say, a typical campaign documentary for a candidate or other issue?
Great question. I'm not sure I'm prepared to answer it exactly. Let me take a stab. I would say that you know, the folks that we're depicting are a little bit different. You know, you've got everybody, you set this up for a mainstream audience, and they think, of course, the two sides are going to be pro-legalization and anti-legalization. As we found here in Washington State, it was both sides that emerged in conflict around this issue were actually pro-legalization. There was kind of this small group of cops and whatnot who voiced their opinion that this was a bad idea, slippery slope, what about the kids, et cetera. But they weren't very vocal. They weren't generating media. They weren't out there. The folks that were activists, primarily from the medical marijuana community, who felt like this initiative was too restrictive. The fact that there was no home grow allowed, the fact that there was a hard limit of 5 nanograms of THC, these are things that they were objecting to and were extremely vocal and came out in large crowds to raise objections to the folks behind the initiative. So the question became not if we should legalize marijuana, but how we should do it, which is a far more interesting question, I think.
Now, I imagine some of the folks from both sides have seen the documentary, maybe at the film festival or through a screener.
Yep.
Have they responded to you about their portrayal in the movie? Did they feel that one side or the other was given a better, more favorable opinion?
Well, if they've had any negative things to say, they certainly haven't shared it with us. In fact, we've talked with everybody depicted in the film, with the exception of Steve Sarich, since the public screening. And we've been so pleased to find that everybody feels like they're well represented, that the points were made, that they were allowed to speak, and that they like the film. You know, on both sides of the issue, with such a contentious topic, that's really hard to achieve as a documentary filmmaker and make the story move and engaging. And so we're just so pleased and relieved that that's the case, that everybody feels good about the film. Again, I haven't talked to Steve Sarich. He cut us off on election night, so I can't speak to him. But Doug Hyatt, Allison, Tanya, everybody in the film has seen it and seems to like how they're portrayed.
That's excellent to hear. And there's going to be, I hope, more release of the film to other outlets. I saw a Pennsylvania and a Missouri screening. Can you give us more details on how you might be expanding the release of the film?
Well, really, okay, so first is the theatrical run that's happening right now. And we hope to add maybe a couple more dates in California towards the end of July, but that may or may not happen. It really just depends on how the Denver and Seattle runs go. Barring that, we're planning on a late summer release of DVD and home video, and it should be widely available in DVD and hopefully Netflix, iTunes, etc. So a lot of digital platforms, but not for a couple months still.
Will we get any of those extra special features on the DVD, perhaps?
I'm sure. That's a question we were discussing today, and yes, there will be a few special features. I don't know exactly what those are going to look like, but we're fleshing those out in the next week.
What about the potential for any follow-up in the year since 502 passed? Maybe coverage of predictions that came true or didn't come true, perhaps?
I would love nothing more, Russ. I mean, to me, again, these questions just keep getting more and more interesting, and to be able to cover this story, you know, as the Liquor Control Board makes up its rules and folks start, create retail businesses and production businesses and distribution businesses. These are all interesting stories. The crux I'm finding is the business model for myself for all of us as media makers to continue to tell this story. You know,
if you know
of any national news organizations looking for a stringer on the marijuana story in Washington, I'm available.
I will keep that in mind. Every now and then I speak to some of those folks. We're speaking with Riley Morton, the director of Evergreen, The Road to Legalization. It's the story of the I-502 legalization campaign in Washington State, with an even-handed portrayal of both the yes and no on I-502 sides. And you can find out more about it at evergreendocumentary.com. Follow on Twitter at Evergreen Doc. I suppose you got a Facebook page out there, right?
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, that can be found also at evergreendocumentary.com. Russ, forgive me, but I'm going to turn the tables on you a little bit. I remember seeing you at election night there, broadcasting live, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
What are your memories from that night? What describe the mood from your perspective?
You know, it's interesting to me because I was a part of doing a nationwide live coverage of marijuana election night. So I had people in I was in Seattle, obviously, but I had people in Washington State that were covering it. And there were votes all over the country. I think there's one in Massachusetts as well. And while the reports I would get back from the correspondent, especially in Denver, was this relief and ecstasy from the supporters in almost like a feeling of liberation, like freedom. We've been freed. Whereas the I-502 celebration seemed a little more muted and more of a political we won. And I think maybe some of that owes to the fact that in Colorado, I think the movement was largely being run by people who they themselves were cannabis consumers. And so it was intensely personal. Whereas you have, say, Rick Steves and Allison Holcomb, who are friends of mine and wonderful people, but I wouldn't call them pot people. And so maybe to them, it was more of a social justice victory or a political victory, but not that raw, deep emotional victory that it was in Colorado.
What a fascinating distinction, and I don't doubt that what you say is 100% true. That's very interesting and telling.
Is there? Are you aware of anybody who's done a similar kind of chronicle of the legalization campaign in Colorado?
I am not. I heard tell last week we were talking with Steve Bloom, and he said he thought there was some Kickstarter up for a group in Colorado that was putting together a documentary, but I haven't seen that yet. I don't know anything about what that story is. That was the first I'd heard of it.
All right.
As far as I know, no.
So are you on the road with the documentary? You'll be in Denver and Seattle?
No, unfortunately, I'm here in Seattle today. I can't make it for the Denver screenings. By the way, they are happening all week. So if you can't make it out tonight or tomorrow, it'll be playing at the Thai Film Center in Denver throughout next week.
Oh.
Multiple screenings every day. And that's true for Seattle as well. Full week-long run, legit film distribution. So, yes, we will be in town for the Seattle screenings all weekend, but not in Denver, unfortunately.
Okay, and thanks for making that correction, folks. It's just the premiere that's happening on the Friday night, but you can catch it all throughout the rest of the week. And I, again, encourage you to go out and see this because, you know, if you can afford to do so, because this is how we vote with our dollars to show that, hey, we want more legitimate, intelligent discussion of our issues and coverage of our campaigns and so forth. And, you know, it's nobody's getting rich being a documentary filmmaker on the marijuana movement. So, you know, any little bit helps. I know it'll come out on DVD, but go see it in the theater, put the butts in the seats so that these theater owners go, hey, there's, you know, business in running these things. That'll create more demand. That'll get us more good documentaries, more good filmmakers like Riley here. Thank you for putting out this film, and I can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much, Russ. You're 110% right on what you just said. Everything flows down from those theatrical sales. So if you can make it out to the screenings this coming week, we'd love to have you. Thanks so much. And send your feedback to us at evergreendocumentary.com.
All right. Looking forward to it. And I'll send everyone I know your way.
Thank you so much, Russ.
All right. We're going to take a short little break here. And when we come back, we'll have time for a little bit of radical rant. Recoloring the medical marijuana map. I had to come up with new shades thanks to New York and Minnesota. We'll talk about the evolution or de-evolution of medical marijuana and what to do about it when we come back. Stay tuned for a special extended look at the Evergreen documentary.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Thank you, everyone. I am Seattle City Attorney Peter Holmes, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today to announce a new initiative to legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana or cannabis for adult recreational use.
This initiative process is direct democracy in action. This is the majority of the people in a state saying, we need to do something different.
Washingtonians are in favor of legalization, but it's a really
difficult conversation for a lot of people to have, and that's why we're gathering signatures up to the last minute. So we need 241,153 signatures, and we're not quite there yet. This isn't just about legalizing a drug. This is about the fact that laws aren't working and lives are destroyed because of this.
We arrested more Americans in the last year than ever before, over 800,000 Americans, 90% of them for simply possessing a little marijuana.
We're the number one jailer nation on the planet. At the heart of this is the prohibition approach to drugs.
When you look at the horizon of organized crime, of interstate and international crime, the face of it was marijuana.
The Pacific Northwest is a transient point where a product comes in, is broken up, and it'll go to Frisco and LA and Houston and Miami and Chicago and New York.
The federal government, the United States federal government, has said itself that the majority of revenue flowing to the cartels comes from United States marijuana sales. I-502 is kind of the first chink in the armor of the black market that is right now destroying an entire country in Mexico.
We bear responsibility as the market that is funding those activities. And I think regulation, taxation, the control of its use is a much preferred approach.
We're official. It's real now. This has just been a huge hurdle to surmount, and now the voters are going to get their say in November.
The supporters behind I-502, I don't think, been in the trenches of where the problems are.
Police, search warrant, open the door!
There's a large part of society that the average voter in this state never sees. Every town has a place where most people never go, but the police officers go there, and we go there in the middle of the night. The proponents are touting significant savings to the criminal justice system. That's just science fiction.
Just going to be a different set of laws. Oh, you're under arrest for possession of marijuana that doesn't have a tax stamp on it. You're still under arrest for marijuana.
If your objective is to change behavior, to stop smoking marijuana because society believes it's criminal, then that's a failure, because we know that there are many, many millions who regularly smoke marijuana.
Anyone who wants to get pot can get pot.
You can grow it anywhere. You can grow it in your backyard. You can grow it in your garage. You can grow it in your living room. You can grow it in your attic.
People are selling on the street. People's friends or friends of friends are selling pot. You can get the best stuff that you want. Prohibition has utterly failed. For the first time in the country, we're seeing this cadre of former law enforcement officers and prosecutors. We're seeing public health workers and addiction specialists and attorneys who have banded together as the sponsoring committee of I-502.
I'm so excited that Washington can take the lead in helping our country out of this wrong-minded, very costly war on marijuana.
On the other side, we have a really sort of unholy alliance of the players you would expect, people representing sheriffs and police chiefs, prosecutors, teaming up with, of all possible people, medical marijuana activists.
Immoral,
ethical, unscientific.
Washington is up for legalizing it. We got an initiative pending, but there are huge problems with it. It's going to be a step backwards from the way it is.
This is not about right versus left. This is about what is good government.
It's a pretty dramatic departure in state law policy meant to say that we're going to take marijuana out of the hands of gangs and international cartels and put them in the hands of legitimate businesses who can manufacture, distribute, and sell in small amounts. Now that's going to set up a showdown with the federal government. There's no question about that.
This initiative will spur on federal action. And I think people in Washington will have a right to feel proud that they were the ones that started it.
Evergreen, The Road to Legalization in Washington, premiering tonight in Denver, next Friday in Seattle. Evergreendocumentary.com.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Statistics show that 40% of all kids who smoke marijuana live in the city. Guess where the other 60% live?
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. We can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
How in the century you have slurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everybody. 52 after the hour, and I just want to rant a little bit about the passage of this New York medical marijuana law that Governor Cuomo just this week played political hostage with. Concede to my demands or you'll get nothing. I'll veto the whole damn thing. And it's just odd to me. Even if I try to put myself in the shoes of someone who thinks that medical marijuana is this terrible fraud, that it's going to lead to chaos and pot zombies and full legalization, even if I put myself in that person's shoes, and that's hard, but even if I do that, I can't understand the logic or lack thereof. Let's start with the governor fighting about marijuana being non-smoked. He would not budge on this bill unless it specifically said that medical marijuana cannot be smoked. But it's not as if the people are administering the medical marijuana to themselves at the facility they pick it up. In fact, I believe that's illegal under their law. They'll be able to go to the facility, one of five in a state of 20 million and a lot of landmass for an East Coast state. Yeah, so they'll be able to go buy their 2 ounces of flowers, but they can't smoke them. Whatever you do, don't smoke them. And he made that clear. He would not move forward unless the no smoking was in there because it would undermine all of New York State's anti-tobacco smoking efforts. So it had to specifically say no smoking. Do you think that's going to stop anybody from smoking it? They're going to take their medical marijuana back home. They're going to buy some cigarette papers or a water pipe for tobacco use only, and use their medical marijuana. And you know what's going to happen here, and this is what I fear, is that it's just a setup. right? Because this law has a 7-year sunset clause, but the state police superintendent or the state health commissioner can suspend the program at any time if they can show cause that it's being abused. Well, if, as I predict, a whole bunch of medical marijuana patients go right ahead and smoke anyway and start getting busted with bongs and, you know, smoking joints or whatever, the state police will say, see, we banned the smoking of medical marijuana, but it didn't do any good. They went ahead and smoked it anyway. We got to suspend the program. It's not like we're being set up to fail. It's like Jack Palance saying, pick up the gun, son. We're being set up to fail. So that just bothers me that he had to have that no smoking clause in there. At least, you know, Minnesota was logically consistent. When they said they didn't want any smoking, they also made sure patients couldn't get any flour. And so that, you know, a little more logical consistency there. Not that I'm suggesting that for New York. I'm just saying, trying to understand the logic. The other thing I don't understand is the removal of these conditions that had been proposed. Governor wouldn't move unless they took out lupus, diabetes, and post-concussion syndrome. Why? I don't understand why. Is the fear here that someone would fake their diabetes to get a medical marijuana card so they could just get high? How do you fake diabetes? Or, oh, I know. Maybe they go and they buy those 64-ounce Big Gulps and drink a lot of sugar and they get the type 2 diabetes so they can get the medical marijuana card. Maybe that's it. So you think someone's going to fake lupus? They're faking it. They're faking lupus just to get high. Or post-concussion syndrome. Okay. But then also, they took out Alzheimer's disease, muscular dystrophy, dystonia, PTSD, post-traumatic stress diagnosis, and rheumatoid arthritis. Okay, maybe, oh, they're faking the PTSD. Yeah, that soldier that came back from Iraq, you remember, support the troops. Remember that soldier that came back from Afghanistan, you know, support the troops. Faking the PTSD to get a card. It'd be too easy to fake. Does the governor understand that the logical equivalent, you know, the moral equivalent of what he's doing here is turning to a soldier who is suffering and saying, sorry, you can't have marijuana to help yourself because somebody else might be faking it. That's what all these always come down to. Sorry, cancer patient, we'd let you smoke a joint, but, you know, somebody might fake it, fake cancer or something. And speaking of cancer, you know, like the other ones, like muscular dystrophy, somebody's going to fake muscular dystrophy to get their medical marijuana card. And then the conditions they are going to allow: cancer, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, ALS, Parkinson's, Huntington's, neuropathies, certain spinal cord injuries, inflammatory bowel disease, HIV or AIDS, but not by themselves. You can't just have plain old cancer or garden variety Lou Gehrig's disease or everyday average HIV AIDS. It also has to cause severe or chronic pain, nausea, wasting syndrome, or muscle spasms. So if you have one of those pain-free, no nausea, large appetite, no spasticity cancers, no medical marijuana for you. You're not suffering quite enough. And after he signs this, it's going to be 18 months before it even starts. If it starts in 18 months, because once again, the health commissioner can decide not to let it start. Oh, there's some sort of problem. There's some sort of abuse. We gotta put the brakes on this thing. So how many of these patients in New York who don't follow the politics, you know, real deeply, but they know there's such a thing as medical marijuana. They know they have muscular dystrophy and they are hoping this could help them, are now reading the papers going, what? I'm not covered? They might add muscular dystrophy? They could take this all away in 7 years if the cop or health commissioner boss doesn't take it away first? At what point does a medical marijuana law become so compromised it's no longer a win but instead an appeasement, a capitulation. Because now Governor Cuomo doesn't have to face any tough questions or choices on medical marijuana before his re-election campaign.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For Priscilla Seibin, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You take a seat, you let it.